Indeed, he leadeth me through the Jordan. It's quite an appropriate song that we have just sung as part of our series, Jordan Crossing, where we've been learning important principles and truths from the living Word of God as to what it means to cross Jordan in our lives. Many aspects in our lives we come across, we become exhausted, we become tired, we become faint as well. But today, may the Lord really help us from His Word as to how to approach our life when we grow weary, when we grow tired, when we grow exhausted. As part of today's sermon, let us turn our attention to Judges chapter 8 and verse 4. Judges chapter 8 and verse 4. It is projected here on the screen. You can fill in the blanks after we read it all together, please. Judges chapter 8 and verse 4 all together, please. Then Gideon and the 300 men who were with him came to the Jordan and crossed over, weary yet pursuing. Please note down the words there that are blanks on the sermon notes. Who were with him came to the Jordan and crossed over. Isn't it appropriate for our sermon series as well as to what we can learn from this scripture? So those of us who have a King James Version, it says, faint yet pursuing. And if you have an English Standard Version, it uses the word exhausted yet pursuing. So today, may the Lord speak to us from His living Word as we look forward to know what exactly we're going to learn today. Let's read this same verse in the Telugu language all together, please. గిద్యోను అతనితో నున్న 300 మందియును అలసటగా నున్నను శత్రువులను తరుముచు యోర్దానుకు వచ్చి దాటిరి. For those of us who understand Urdu or a Hindi language, probably you can understand this script on the top or at least the bottom because it is in English. Let's all read this together, please. तब गिदियोन और उसके साथ 300 आदमी जो बावजूद थके मंदे होने के फिर भी पीछा करते ही रहे थे यॉर्डन पर आकर पार उतरे. I hope you understood. You know, sometimes it's not totally Hindi, but it is a mix of Hindi with a Urdu language, wonderful language that we are able to read it and understand as well. So, what are we going to learn today from this particular story? Just as once again, the picture of Sea of Galilee on the top, Dead Sea, and the Jordan River that connects both of them. So far, we have gone through various books in the Bible, starting with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua as well over the past 2 weeks. Today, we are getting into the book of Judges. In a way, we are learning the whole plan of God through the Bible. From the beginning, from the time when Abraham and Lot, they passed through the Jordan River on either side. Jacob, there was a runaway crossing and return crossing. And also, we have learned about Moses, how he was not allowed to cross the Jordan River. And the two spies, how they crossed the Jordan River for the sake of Rahab and her salvation. And last week, we meditated upon the entire people of Israel crossing the Jordan River under the leadership of Joshua. So that is what we have learned. And when they have crossed over the Jordan River, these were the areas that they have split the land. Each tribe had their specific area that they had taken. The Lord gave them lots in terms of allocation as to what each tribe would occupy. So again, they were occupying it, and see the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea and the Jordan River all around. The entire story, even now that we are meditating upon, even in the book of Judges, relates to what has happened in this particular area. Notice Manasseh, they had portions on either side of River Jordan, and then Ephraim is another son of Joseph. So Joseph had two sons and their tribes that are here as well. So I just want to focus our attention on Manasseh and Ephraim. The reason is that we are going to look at the people from that particular tribe. So may the Lord enable us to learn certain important principles from even the book of Judges. If you read the book of Judges, I don't know if you have ever read the book of Judges, not just reading but meditating upon it. The book of Judges has happened after Joshua's death. Joshua, he took up the leadership and he allocated all the lands to various tribes. And then we notice that there was a cycle that was going on in the book of Judges. People were sinning. The Lord gave them over to the enemies and they were oppressed by the enemies. The people cried out to God and said, Lord, please save us, forgive us. And then the Lord raises up judges in order to be able to save them. And after the judge dies, again the people commit sin. And then that has become a cycle all through. And I'm sure even in our lives as well, we are also living like the time during Judges where we commit sin. The Lord punishes us in some way or the other. We come back to God and say, please forgive me. The Lord enables us to be delivered. And then we might again get back to sin. And it is a cycle of sin. Lord wants to help us to come out of that cycle of sin. So if you consider that cycle and read the book of Judges, it gives you a wonderful picture as to how God's plan is. It's very important, my dear, when we are coming to the church and learning God's word, it is our responsibility to meditate on God's word. How God's plan, how he created Adam and Eve, how he chose Abraham and his descendants, and how it passed on. They moved to Egypt and then they came back to Jordan and now came back to Canaan. And now through the Judges, what kind of stories we are going to learn. So the book of Judges is also a wonderful book if you haven't meditated upon it. Keeping that in mind, the cycle, take your time, read the book of Judges. Many people tend to read the Bible in a hurry, try to finish it in 1 year, somehow or the other, I have to finish it. But I don't know how many of us are really meditating upon God's word. So I would greatly encourage you, I'm not saying that you shouldn't read the Bible in 1 year, but are we reading with an understanding? Are we able to understand what is this book of Judges? Why are there various people like Deborah or even for that matter, Gideon and Samson, Jephthah and many other judges that are mentioned in the Bible? There are many wonderful truths that we can learn. Today we are going to learn only from one of the judges, and that judge is Gideon. So Gideon goes through battles. I just want to show you this picture ahead of time, and then I want us to really go to the book of Judges chapter 6. Book of Judges chapter 6. Verse 1 onwards. May I have your undivided attention to the listening of God's word as we look into the scriptures as to what we can learn. Let's not get diverted here and there, but let us focus our attention on the word of God. Then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, we could just stop there and really look into what exactly this particular verse means. Sons of Israel, or the Israelites, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They were doing right in their sight, but they were doing wrong in God's sight. They were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. In other places, we can also read that. They were doing right in their own sight. They're thinking they're doing right. But in the sight of God, they were doing evil. And the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian. Midianites. Midianites are in the southern side of this land that I was talking about in this area. The bottommost side is Midian, below the Edom. That's where the Midianites are. And just to give you a background, the Midianites were first introduced when Moses ran away and he was in the wilderness preparing himself to go to Egypt and bring the people over. That is when he gets married, and Jethro, his father-in-law, is a Midianite. And that is how the introduction of Midianites come into picture. And these Midianites were the ones who did not worship the Lord. They had their own gods. So now, because the people of Israel were doing evil in the sight of the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. For 7 years, the Lord gave them over to their enemies. Sometimes we wonder, why is God doing that? Isn't he a graceful God? Yes, he's a God of grace, but he's a God of discipline as well. The Lord wanted to teach a lesson to the people of Israel, and that is how he made sure that the enemies take over this people of Israel so that they will realize the importance of God. Verse 2, the power of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves dens which were in the mountains and caves and the stronghold. They were hiding themselves from the Midianites because they were very powerful.
Verse 3, for it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites, the sons of the east, and go against them. Whenever Israelites wanted to sow some seeds in order to be able to produce something from the land, the Midianites used to come and destroy in verse 4. They used to destroy everything. They never left anything, even sheep, ox, and donkey, everything. They used to destroy them. And verse 6, so Israel was brought very low. Israel was brought very low because of Midian. Please read in any other language. Verse 6. Verse 6. Hina dasako. They were very low. They were brought low. God allows us to go through low times in our lives for a reason. Here, you know what it says? They were brought low because of Midian. Is it because of the enemies that they were brought low? We will see that. Verse 7. Now it came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet. The Lord sent a prophet. Just want to give you a quick picture of what's going on here. And he says, the prophet says, verse 8, thus says the Lord God of Israel, it was I who brought you up from the land of Egypt and brought you from the house of slavery. I delivered you from the hands of the Egyptians, from the hands of your oppressors, dispossessed them from before you and gave you their land. I have given you this land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But, notice this carefully, verse 10, but you have not obeyed me. But you have not obeyed me. Something for us to be able to learn from this particular story. It was not because of Midianites. Verse 6, Israel was brought low because of Midian. It is not just because of the Midianites, but why? The root cause analysis. If you really look at the root cause, it is not because of Midianites that Israel was going through trouble. It is because the Israelites disobeyed the Lord, period. It is because most of the time we look at the problems and we say, why is this problem coming unto me? God wants to remind us there's a root cause. Go back to the root. You know what the root cause is? God had to send a prophet in order to tell these people of Israel, verse 10, but you have not obeyed me. Obedience was essential in the sight of God, and people of Israel were not obedient. They were not obedient to the Lord God and His commandments and to live according to His word. They were going after evil. That is what was the root cause. And God had to deal with them with their root cause. Root has to be taken out. If you try to keep cutting things and say, oh, these weeds are not good, these weeds are not good, pull up, pull it up, uproot it. As long as you have the roots, that weeds will keep coming. That is what the root cause. What is the root cause in our lives that is causing us unable to experience the blessings of the Lord? The blessings of God in order to be able to have that wonderful relationship with Him and to be able to experience Him in a fresh way. Maybe you are going through weariness in your life. Maybe you are going through tough times in your lives. Maybe the Lord is reminding us, are you obeying me? Are you obeying me? What is your answer? Lord, this problem, these Midianites, Lord, those are the problem. No, he says, the problem is not outside, it is inside. It is inside. Each one of us have to examine ourselves and see, Lord, many a times I'm looking at other people, other situations, the challenges that I'm coming across. It is within me. I have been disobedient to you. Lord, help me to be obedient to your word. Verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, as his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress. Notice this, interesting. He was beating wheat in the winepress. What is a winepress? You know what a winepress is? Where they take the grapes and crush it. They press in order to be able to produce grape juice or wine. That was a place. What was Gideon doing in the winepress? He was threshing wheat. Wheat is usually, the threshing floor for wheat is put on the mountain, on a mountaintop. They take wheat and try to thresh it out. And when the big wind comes, the chaff will go away and the real wheat stays. Threshing floor. Threshing floor is usually on a mountain where it is exposed. But because the Israelites were afraid of the Midianites, who were so powerful, Gideon was hiding. He was hiding in a wine press and threshing wheat. He was beating wheat in a wine press in order to be able to get some wheat to eat. Because Midianites, the moment if they see that this is being done, they will destroy. So Gideon, both these names are very rhyming. Gideon, Midian, easy to remember also, okay? Gideon, Midian. Midians were enemies during Gideon's time. So what was Gideon doing? He was hiding. He was afraid of these Midianites. Then what happened? He was beating wheat in the winepress in order to save it from the Midianites. Verse 12, then the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Angel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, wherever the term angel of the Lord is mentioned, it is a Christophany, meaning Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. That is the typical understanding. Christ existed from the beginning. It is not that Jesus came. Jesus came in the form of flesh in the New Testament. But Jesus existed from the beginning. So most of the time, whenever you see the angel of the Lord, it is a probable description of Jesus Christ coming in that form, angel of the Lord. Many times, if you read that, you will notice it as well. Verse 12, angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. O mighty man of valor, it says. Valiant warrior. Who is this? The angel of the Lord telling Gideon, the guy who is shy, the guy who is afraid of the Midianites, what is he telling him? You mighty man of valor, you valiant warrior. What is this? Gideon is just sitting there and trying to break wheat. He was beating wheat. Verse 13, notice this carefully. Then Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? If the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Have you ever posed this question? Whether to God or whether to others. If God is with us, why is all this happening to us? Why am I going through all this? Why should I go through all this? If God is with us, why is all this happening? Let me tell you, you're not alone. Gideon is with you. Gideon also has asked the same question. If God is with us, if I'm able to have the assurances, if God is with me, why is all this happening to us? Why are the Midianites trying to overpower us? Why am I hiding and doing all this stuff? He was going through troubles in his life. If the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened? And then he says, where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about? Where are all those miracles? Where are all those, the 12 stones that represented God wondrously working, passing through the Jordan River? We have heard of all of that. But where are all those miracles that God has done? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. When the angel of the Lord is saying, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor, Gideon is saying, Lord has abandoned us. The Lord has left us. Angel of the Lord is saying, the Lord is with you. Gideon is saying, the Lord is not with me. How many times you must have complained, God is not with me. I'm not able to experience God. If God is with me, why is this all this happening in my life? Why am I going through so many tough times? Why is God not answering my prayers? What is going on? Probably you also may be going through, you and I may be going through this situation sometime or the other in our lives. He says, the Lord has abandoned us. The Lord has abandoned us. Please note down the first thing in your sermon notes. Warrior with problems. If you go and do a dictionary search, you may not find the meaning of the word warrior. I just tried to create that word. A person who worries. But in a sense, person who worries, we can call him warrior. Okay, warrior with problems. Who doesn't have problems here? Each of us go through problems in our lives. Be it physical problems, mental problems, job problems, family problems, health issues, spiritual problems, many, many issues that you and I may be going through in our lives. Gideon was worrying. The Lord has abandoned us. That is why I'm hiding here and trying to beat wheat. What should I do? The Lord has abandoned us. Then verse 14, the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? God is preparing Gideon to fight against Midian. But Gideon is saying, the Lord has left us. He is going through so much of worry that he is forgetting God calling him. He is forgetting the fact that God is going to use Gideon in order to be able to deliver the people from Midianites. Then, have I not sent you, the God says in verse 15. He said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh. He is in the tribe of Manasseh. We are one of the least tribes. We are not like the Reuben, Judah, and Levi, and Simeon, and all others. We are, you know, Joseph's children. Joseph is the 11th son. We are one of the least tribes. So he was looking at his own family tree. Sometimes we look at that, oh, who am I? I'm just, you know, some people tend to go after their family, their race, their caste, their physical situation, social status, and say, who am I, Lord? I'm just the least person. How can you use me? Let me tell you, God can use you. God doesn't need a specific rules and regulations. He can choose the least, the youngest, to rule over the oldest. Jacob was chosen over Esau. Abel was chosen over Cain. Isaac was chosen over Ishmael. The New Testament over the Old Testament. God knows how to choose. But this man was going through so much of worry that he was trying to give excuses. I am the youngest in my father's house, he says. Notice this verse 16. We have such a wonderful God. When people cry out to him, shall we all read this verse 16, please? But the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. As one man. You're not going to defeat as anybody else, but as a unified man, as one man, you are going to defeat. And then he says, can you show me a sign? We are not going to go through every verse. And then he says, he brings over the unleavened bread and meat, and the angel of the Lord, what he does is, he brings up fire and consumes the meat offering. And that is when he gets a confirmation that it is God who came and spoke to him. Verse 22. When Gideon saw that he was the angel of the Lord, verse 22, he said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. Angel of the Lord face to face. There was somebody else who saw the Lord face to face. And that place was called Penuel or Peniel. Jacob. Jacob experienced it on his return crossing. We went through it. So now, the moment he has experienced God in a very unique way, in verse 23, the Lord said to him, peace to you. He was a worrier with problems. And the one who goes through worry with problems in their lives, the Lord is comforting. The Lord is encouraging. The Lord is promising, you know, by what? He says, peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die. Peace to you. When we go through troubles in our lives, when we go through problems in our lives, when we go through worries in our lives, the only thing that we need is peace. Peace to you. God wants to give you and I peace. Peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die. Don't worry. I'm going to use you as a deliverer. And then in verse 24, then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and named it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it is still in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Can someone who has a King James Version please read verse 24? And he called it, he built an altar and he called it Jehovah Shalom. Isn't it a wonderful word? Jehovah Shalom means the Lord is peace. He built an altar, just to let you know. In the Old Testament, when people built an altar, it was a form of worship unto the Lord. Let us note down the second aspect of this particular story. He became a worshiper with peace. He built an altar and said, Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. What a wonderful term that he had given to that altar. He named that altar as Jehovah Shalom because he worshipped God. Now his worry turned to worship. His worry turned to worship. His problems turned to peace because God is with him. God has spoken to him, peace to you, do not fear or fear not. We've been getting reminded of this small term, fear not, since last Sunday. Even the church calendar verse reminded us yesterday, do not fear. 365 times it is repeatedly mentioned in the scriptures, do not fear. Gideon was going through fear in his life. He was afraid of the Midianites, but little did he imagine that God was going to use him to win over the Midianites. Many times we will be wondering, Lord, how will you deliver me from this situation? God is saying, I want to use you to deliver you from your situation. Don't look at somebody else. You are the one God wants to use in order to be able to. I want you. The problems that you are going through in your life, you take action now. And that is what we see here, that he went forward. And then when he built the altar of the Lord, he was told to bring down the altar of the Baal in verse 25. He says, take your father's bull and the second bull 7 years and pull down the altar of Baal. When you build the altar of God, Jehovah Shalom, you cannot have any more altars of any other gods. One and only one, exclusivity of the Lord God is mentioned here. And then we notice that he goes ahead and he's also called Jerubbaal in chapter 7. We are going to jump to chapter 7 and verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, because he was the one who tried to bring down the Baal, the altar of the Baal, so he was also called Jerubbaal. That is Gideon. And all the people who were with him rose early. See the early morning people. Verse 1. They rose early and camped beside the spring of Herod, and the camp of Midian was on the north side. And now we see here, the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give Gideon into their hands. For Israel would become boastful, saying, my own power has delivered me. There were 22,000 people. 22 plus 10,000, that is 32,000 people were there. Now, verse 3. Now therefore, come proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is afraid and trembling, let him return and depart from Mount Gilead. So 22,000 people returned, 10,000 remained. They were still afraid. Gideon went and told them, see, the angel of the Lord came and told me. The Lord is using me in order to be able to deliver the people of Israel. But God said, I want to reduce the number of people. From 32,000, come down. And 22,000, they left because they were afraid. They were afraid. They were not able to take hold of the promise of God, saying, God is the one who is going to deliver them from the people of Midian. And then 10,000 also were too many. God said, I want you to separate people, those who are going to lap at the water. They are the ones I need. And 300 people were selected finally. And that is what we notice in verse 8, that only 300 people were left. Even today's verse, Judges chapter 8 and verse 4, it talks about the 300 men. God wanted to choose people who are not afraid. God wants to show forth that it is he who is in control of the situation, not the power of people. It's not the quantity that God is looking at. God is looking at the quality of people. He's looking at people who are really looking forward to be able to stand forth in spite of the situations that come across in his life, in their lives. God wants to show forth Gideon as a one who is going to go after this people of Midian. And there is a story where these 300 men, they tried to go into the valley of Jezreel, and then there they notice that these people of Midian were there, and they blow the trumpet so much so that Midianites tried to fight against each other in the night, and they killed each other. And there were a few of them, they flew, and that is where this particular story talks about. They flew all the way, and they tried to go towards Karkor, the people of Midian. Some of them, they tried to escape. And that is what we are going to read the story here. Chapter 8 and verse 1. Notice this carefully. Chapter 8 and verse 1. Judges 8:1. Then the men of Ephraim said to him, what is this thing you have done to us, not calling us when you went to fight against Midian? Already God told him, only 300 men. Now, almost the remaining people out of the 32,000, only 300 people were left. So they were feeling that they were not part of the war. And the people of Ephraim told to Gideon, why didn't you call us? And Gideon was very careful in answering the question and said, you notice there are the leaders of Midianites were killed by you guys, if you read chapter 7. And the way in which he answered them, verse 3, then their anger toward him subsided when he said that. God gave wisdom to Gideon to know how to answer when fellow brethren were questioning him. He didn't try to say, hey, I'm a chosen man of God. Who are you to question me? I'm the leader. Who are you? No. God gave him wisdom to know how to answer. Humility is needed. Servant leadership is needed. For a leader, it is very important to know how to answer people. And that is what we notice here, that Gideon was very careful. The way in which he was answering towards the end of verse 3, it says, then their anger toward him subsided when he said that. It all depends on what we say and how we say that will subside the anger. Maybe the other person is too angry trying to speak out so much. If you also speak the same way, then it will produce fire. Somebody has to calm down, whether it is in a family relationship also. If the wife is too shouting, husband also, if he also shouts, finish. The same way, if the husband keeps shouting, wife also says, I can also speak back. If wife also speaks like that, what will happen? God should give wisdom to know how to speak so that the anger subsides. So here, what I have learned in verse 3 is, God gave wisdom to Gideon to know how to speak. Though only 300 people were chosen, and the remaining people were left back, he could have said, hey, you know what, these people left back, that is why this all happened, you guys are responsible for it. No. He said, you two had a share in being able to catch some of the leaders of Midian. Don't you realize it? A lot of people try to look at what they don't have than what they have. And Gideon had to remind them, hey, you have done it. Look at yourself. Don't look at others and say, grass is greener on the other side. Look at how God has used you in being able to capture the leaders of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. Though they were not kings, but Ephraimites, they captured some of the leaders of Midianites as well. They had their share in being able to capture the Midianites. Now we are going to go to verse 4, our main verse for today. Then Gideon and the 300 men who were with him came to the Jordan and crossed over, weary yet pursuing. Weary yet pursuing. Note down. The third point in this particular story that we are reading, warrior with pursuit. Warrior, worshipper, warrior. Problems, peace, pursuit. Easy to remember. The one who was a warrior, God said, you will be a warrior. The one who was going through worries in his life, he became first a worshipper, then a warrior. For you to be a warrior for the Lord, you need to be a worshipper of the Lord. Are you worshipping the Lord? Are you worshipping enough in order to be able to be a warrior for the Lord, to be a soldier for the Lord? And moving on, pursuit. In here in verse 4 it says, weary yet pursuing. Something very important. They were tired crossing the Jordan River. They were going from the left side of the Jordan River to the right side, from the west to east, to go after the Midianites who escaped. They would have thought, oh, they are leaving, forget them. No. It was God's calling to make sure the enemies are fully defeated. You just can't say, okay, this some people died, that's enough. No. The enemy is still there. The root cause is still there. You go after them and try to overcome them. And for them to overcome, what were they doing? They had to cross Jordan River. And when they had to cross Jordan River, I don't know how they crossed, whether they swam or I don't know. There was no parting of the Jordan River like last week's story that we have meditated upon. They were already tired. They were coming all the way from the north. They were coming down. And they had to cross the Jordan River. And when they had to cross the Jordan River, they got tired. They got exhausted. They were so weary. They were so fainted. But they were not faint-hearted. They were still pursuing. Weary, yet pursuing. That's the sermon title today. Weary, yet pursuing. Are you tired? Are you tired of the things that are going on in your life? Saying, Lord, how long?
How long should I fight in this battle? I'm going through so much of struggles. Why is my family going through so much of struggles? Why is my health going through so much of struggles? Maybe you're tired. You're exhausted. Maybe you're weary. Let me encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters, through the word of God, you may be crossing the Jordan River with much difficulty, just like Gideon and the 300 men. Judges chapter 8 and verse 4 says, Gideon and 300 men who were with him came to the Jordan, crossed over, weary, tired, tired. Lord, how much longer? How much longer should I wait upon you? You are promising, you are telling, wait, 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 how long? I'm going through so much of struggle in my life, you may be saying. Whether it is family issues, whether it is job-related issues, immigration-related issues, spiritual problems, you may be struggling through temptations in your life. That you're not able to overcome those temptations in your life. Don't give up, my dear. Don't give up. The Bible says that you need to keep on pursuing. Pursuit has to go on. Keep on pursuing. Don't give up. You may be weary. You may be fainted. But don't be faint-hearted. You may be tired from the flesh perspective. From the spirit perspective, don't give up, my dear. You know better what problems you are going through right now. Each one of us knows what kind of problems we are going through right now. Are you tired? Are you tired? The Lord is reminding us, you may be tired, you may be weary, but don't give up. I want to share with you 7 scriptural verses for today. To know that we should not give up. Note down in your sermon notes. My dear, do not give up reading the Bible. Do not give up. You may be saying, oh, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm so tired of the situation that I'm going through. I'll stop reading the Bible. Maybe you're saying that. Maybe you lost interest in reading the Bible because you're tired. You're tired of searching for jobs. You're tired of searching for your life partner. You're tired of searching for a solution in your problems that you're going through in your family or whatever situation you're going through. Maybe you're tired. You're so tired that you might have stopped meditating on God's word. Let me remind you, my dear, do not give up reading the word of God. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 to 10. Talks about how wonderful God's word is. It is sweeter than honey. Don't give it up, my dear. Don't give it up. Meditate on God's word. Let me tell you, if you are tired, spend more time in reading the Bible. Spend time in the presence of God, and you will see the result. Who are you trying to talk against? Who are you trying to talk against? Are you trying to say, oh, God is not doing for me? Are you trying to rebel against God by not reading his word? Are you trying to rebel against God by saying, I'm not going to read God's word? Who is the loser here? Who is the loser? We are the losers if we give up meditating on God's word, reading his word. If you have stopped doing it, if you're trying to say, I'm not going to read God's word till I get a result to this, maybe that is a problem. Spend more time in memorizing God's word, meditating God's word, and trying to be able to see, Lord, what is your will in my life? Secondly, do not give up worship. Luke chapter 10 verses 38 to 42 talks about two sisters, Martha and Mary. Wonderfully, the story starts with saying, Jesus went to the house of Mary, Martha and Lazarus. Martha welcomed him. Wonderful statement. Martha welcomed him. She was such a wonderful person in terms of welcoming, hospitality and all that. What did Mary do? She sat at the feet of Jesus. In other words, she was worshiping the Lord at the feet of Jesus and listening to his word as well. Mary was spending time in listening to God's word. She was worshiping. In other places, it says that the way in which she was offering unto Jesus, it was a form of a worship. Mary was doing it. What was Martha doing? She was serving. She was taking care of dishes, she was taking care of food, making sure that everyone who comes are well fed, etc. But what was Martha doing? She was weary. She was tired. She told Jesus, tell my sister, she's not helping me. She's not doing heartfully. She was getting tired. She should have chosen the right one, the one thing that Mary has chosen, it will not be taken away from her. That's what Jesus says. Do not give up worship, my dear. A lot of people want to skip worship. They don't want to worship the Lord. Are you worshiping the Lord daily? Are you worshiping God daily? It's a question that you and I need to answer. Are we spending time enough in worshiping the Lord? He is worthy of worship. Are you coming to the worship service to worship the Lord through songs and individual worship? Or are you doing something else and saying, I'm taking care of other things. I'm like Martha. I'm doing many, many other things. Worship is less important for me. I want to take care of people. Maybe we are doing other things more than worship. I want to remind each one of us. Doesn't matter what our responsibility in the church is. All that matters is that we need to spend time in meditating on Word of God, and we need to spend time in worshiping God. If you have not been worshiping daily, you cannot worship God on Sunday. There were people, I know, who have been worshiping the Lord week after week. They stopped worshiping the Lord. I don't know the reason. Maybe you have some physical problems. That's fine. But if there is a purpose in your life where you have decided not to worship God because something is happening in your life, you are the loser, let me tell you. You're not trying to please God by stopping to worship Him. When was the last time you worshiped God really heartfully? Let me ask you. Are you growing weary from worshiping the Lord? I want to encourage you. I want to warn each one of us as well from the Word of God, with authority that is given from the Word of God. Do not give up worshiping the Lord. If you are a child of God, you should be a worshiper of God. If you have not been worshiping God, there is something wrong that is going on. You can say that you have this problem with this person, problem with that person, problem with that person, problem with Midianites and all, just like Gideon was telling. But God said, it is you. It is not about the things. It's not about the other people. It's about you. Why did you stop worshiping me? Is it because of the circumstances that you are rebelling? Why did you stop worshiping me? Do not give up worship. Worship the Lord daily, my dear. Every day when you wake up in the morning, worship Him. Worship Him. Be a worshiper. That is what you will do forever in eternity. If you are not worshiping God here on this earth, you are not ready for eternity. What will you do in eternity? You cannot do anything else other than worshiping God. So I want to remind each one of us, do not give up worship. Take the opportunity. Come back to the heart of worship. Come back, my dear. Come back worshiping the Lord. Maybe it's been a while since you have been worshiping the Lord. Whenever opportunity comes, open your mouth and worship the Lord. But be a worshiper throughout your life. Thirdly, that we want to see. Do not give up a word. Do not give up worship. Do not give up prayer. Sometimes we go through so much of troubles in our lives that we stop praying as well. We go after the things of this world. We do Google searches. We go after people to give us advices. And we spend less time in prayer. Do not give up prayer. Luke 18:1 says, you keep on praying. Be persistent in prayer. Don't give up praying, my dear. Don't give up praying. Are you regularly praying? Are you praying about yourself? Are you praying about your family? Are you praying for your people whom you are in touch with? People have been asking you to pray for. You said, yes, I will pray. Did you pray? Do not give up prayer, my dear. Do not give up prayer. Not only worshiping the Lord, but spending time in prayer. Praying for yourself, for your family members, church family. There is no end to prayer. If you start praying, the list grows. You cannot stop praying. That is how prayer life is. We are taking opportunity as a church also to give you opportunity to join us in prayer. Oh, I'm so tired. I'm so tired of the day from morning till evening. I'm so tired, brother. Forget about prayer. Maybe we are like that. Do not give up prayer, my dear. Do not give up prayer. I'm asking your personal life. I'm not saying externally what you're doing. Don't do it for the sake of people. Don't try to satisfy people by joining prayer calls. Satisfy God. You spend time. If you are a regular person who keeps praying, if you recognize the need of prayer, you will know the importance of praying together as a church as well. Are you praying personally? Are you really praying heartfully? If you are praying heartfully, then that And the next thing that matters to you is do not give up following Christ. Do not give up following Christ. John chapter 6, 60 to 68, Jesus keeps telling, this is how you should be. I'm the bread of life. You need to be able to be partakers of me. And you know what the disciples, the other disciples other than the 12, they said, this is a hard saying. And they deserted Jesus. They stopped following Jesus, the Bible says in John chapter 6, 60 to 68. They stopped following Christ. I'm a believer. I don't care what will happen. I will stop following Christ. I am saved enough. I don't want to follow Christ. Maybe you are in that situation where you are really not obeying the word of God. You are not following Christ. You are not a practical Christian. Do not give up following Christ. No matter what happens in your life, do not give up following Christ. Next one. Do not give up fellowship. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Lot of people keep complaining. Oh, this church or going to church is a bunch of hypocrites. I'm not going to go to such a church. Lot of people are like that. They look at people. They try to look at people and try to attend church. Let me encourage you, my dear brothers and sisters. The Bible says, do not give up assembling of one another. Why are we gathering like this? So that you will be taking some rest from the situations that are happening outside in the world. You're so busy, right? Each of us are so busy throughout the day, throughout the week. At least for some time, come to the house of the Lord and relax, rest in the presence of the Lord, listen to His word, get rejuvenated to go back into the world and to be able to face the situations that are coming in your lives. A lot of people say, oh, that person, I'm not going to come to church. Because of that person, because of this person, because of that person. Why are we coming to the church? People are different, my dear. Each one is different. Each one has different backgrounds. Their brought up is different. Their maturity level is also different, let me tell you. You still need to be able to connect. If you are part of the body of Christ, you are members of the body of Christ, do not give up fellowship. Don't say that, okay, once in a while I'll come. No! It is very important to fellowship together, because wherever two or three are gathered in my name, my presence is there. Whenever you are going through trouble in your life, there is a fellow brother or sister who is going to encourage you. And sometimes they might be a cause for you to grow more when you go through sufferings with them. When you go through tough times with them, you will get stronger. Take it as an opportunity rather than having bitterness towards a fellow brother or sister. Do not give up fellowship. Do not give up. Maybe you are weary, but still pursue, my dear, yet pursuing. Do not give up challenges in your life. 2 Corinthians 12:9. Do not give up challenges in your life. Paul the apostle had thorn in his flesh. He prayed to God 3 times and said, please take away this thorn from my flesh. But Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. You will have challenges in your lives. Do not give up challenges. Challenges may be different kind of challenges. Spiritual challenges, physical challenges, family related challenges, financial challenges. Whatever challenges that you are going through in your life, they are a form of pursuit for you. Keep on. Hold on to it and say, Lord, I want to face this challenge in my life because my God is so great. It is God who is going to do wonders in my life. Weary, yet pursuing. Exhausted, yet pursuing. And finally, do not give up hope. Do not give up hope. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Do not give up hope. Maybe you are so tired that you are feeling hopeless. Will this happen, Lord? I've been praying enough. Will this really happen, Lord? Sometimes we are going so weary, unable to pursue. Lord, I am tired. I am tired of the situations that are going on in my life. I will not leave you. I have my hope in you. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will not grow weary. They will run and not grow weary, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40, 28 to 31. God will give you strength to run the battle. To run the fight, to fight the fight, God is going to give you the strength. Maybe you are going through troubled times right now in your life, my dear. I want to encourage you through this Jordan crossing of Gideon and the 300 men. They were going after the Midianites. They were tired crossing the Jordan River. They were weary, yet pursuing. That is a small phrase I want us to be able to remember. Apply it in our lives and say, Lord, how long? But I have the hope in the Lord. As long as God allows me to go through it, I will keep on pursuing. Today, being Mother's Day, there's no better example than a mother who goes through so much of weariness, exhaust. They get exhausted throughout the day. Sometimes, as fathers, we may not recognize how much the mothers do. As children, we don't recognize how much our mothers do. And especially godly mothers. It's a great responsibility for you, godly mothers. It is your responsibility. Though you may be tired of taking care of children, though you may be tired of taking care of your family, weary yet pursuing. Don't give up. Don't give up. Her name was Monica, a Christian. She was married to a prominent man who wasn't a believer. He was unfaithful and even beat her at times. Monica's response was to go to church every day and pray for her husband's conversion. She hoped that by setting a good godly example, even in the midst of her mistreatment, she might win him over. And that's what exactly has happened. She prayed for her husband, and her husband, in due time, he got changed and received Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The suffering and anguish caused by her husband paled before what Monica's oldest son put through her. Now the husband is fine. Oldest son, he started rebelling. He lived a dissolute life devoted to pleasure. He left one mistress, took up another. His only son was born out of wedlock. That was how his son was. His lack of faith and rejection of Christian truth hurt Monica even more. He belittled her beliefs and seemed to go out of his way to embrace Christianity's competitors for the hearts and especially minds of his contemporaries. Still, Monica never gave up. The greatest preacher of the time, knowing of her prayers and tears of her son, told her that it is impossible that the son of so many tears should perish. That preacher, Bishop Ambrose, was right when he told Monica about Monica's son. For 17 years, she was praying for her son. For 17 years, she was praying for her son to be changed. At the age of 35, Monica's son, Augustine, became a Christian and was baptized along with Augustine's son by Bishop Ambrose. A few months later, on the way home to Hippo, with Augustine and his son, Monica fell ill and died. Monica could not have known that her prayers and devotions would affect not only the life of her son, but also the course of history. Her concern was that her son believe the truth which is in Jesus Christ. Saint Augustine, I don't know if you have heard about him. Wonderful, wonderful things that he has written. Still, people of the present day age, they still read his writings, the confessions that he wrote about his life. They're a wonderful source of encouragement. He was of the 4th century AD. This devotion to spiritual welfare of her son is why Monica is regarded as a model for all Christian mothers. Like Susanna Wesley, Monica's zeal for salvation of her son had an impact far beyond anything she could have imagined. Augustine, to a great degree, his Christian faith was an answer to the prayers of his mother, Monica. Most of which is known about Monica is found in Augustine's Confessions. There, Augustine described Monica as God's servant who brought me to birth both in her body so that I would be brought into the light of time and into her heart so that I was born into the light of eternity. She was not only his earthly mother, but also a spiritual mother. Monica never gave up. Now when we look back, it took 17 years, but every day was a struggle for her. Every day, Lord, what is happening with my husband for some time? And now what is happening with my son? Mothers, I want to encourage each one of us to be able to be prayerful, godly mothers. We don't know how Augustines are going to come out of your families. Monica never thought that an Augustine would come out in order to be able to be a blessing to people even in this century when we read his writings. Wonderful man of God. It was all because of the persistent prayer of a mother, Monica, who did that. I want to encourage each one of you. Maybe you're weary, you're tired, but don't give up. Don't give up what you're doing. And make sure your children are in the Lord. In spite of the struggles that you go through with your family, with your husband, with your children, never give up. And my dear brothers and sisters, all of us, let us learn these important principles. And I hope that we'll not only be the hearers of God's word, but also the doers of God's word. Weary, yet pursuing. May the Lord bless this word. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, let us remember one verse that Jesus Christ has told in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. We need to take some rest, my dear. Maybe we are too tired of the things that are happening in this world. Maybe we are not able to spend enough time in the presence of the Lord. Maybe we are not spending time in the word of God, in the worship of God, in prayer, in fellowship. Maybe the time has come for us to spend more time. Don't look at people, my dear. If you look at people, you are like people of Israel who are looking at Midianites. But God is saying, look at yourself. The root cause is you. It is not the people around. You cannot change the people around, but you can change yourself by asking God to change you. Through your changed behavior, other person might change. But don't complain. Don't murmur saying that so-and-so is like that. That is why I'm not going to worship the Lord. Who are we to question that? So-and-so is not like that. That's why I'm not going to come to church. So-and-so is not like that. That's why I'll not come to prayer meetings. No. Enough of it. Maybe we are so tired, exhausted. Let us not give up. Let us not give up. Let us keep pursuing. Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, he said, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will give you peace. Do not worry anymore. You be a worshiper and you'll be a warrior as well. You'll experience peace and you'll keep pursuing as well. Pursue peace, my dear. May the Lord bless this word and enable us to remember Jesus Christ, who did not give up. Who did not give up even to the point of the death on the cross. He knew that he was going to die. He had to suffer for us. He went through the suffering. He did not give up on the way and said, oh no, Lord, I cannot carry this cross anymore. He did not run away from the Garden of Gethsemane. He did not run away from the cross. He endured the cross. He went through the pain, punishment, the challenges that came across in his life. For your sake and my sake, he died for us on the cross of Calvary for the remission of our sins. We are going to take part in this table that is set before us. Maybe take part in a worthy manner.